Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Northeast Pennsylvania, it's Rob O'Donnell here on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that free Odyssey app. It is 307, 92 degrees, is that right? I guess it is, 92 degrees on this Tuesday, August 12th, 2025. How's everybody doing today? We got through Monday, Tuesday is going to be a breeze. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but this Friday will be the last sunset after 8 o'clock. Come Saturday, sunsets before 8 o'clock, 7:59. So make the best of this week. I know a little rain in the schedule tomorrow, but the rest of the week and the weekend looks nice. So get the rest of the summer in. Again, Friday is the last sunset beyond 8 o'clock, and then we start to dip in the sun before that 8 o'clock hour and the 7 o'clock hour. So some things going on here before we get started with the normal course of business is Pennsylvania State Trooper Joe Pertinsky was released from Geisinger CMC Hospital today and was escorted home by his brethren. And it was great to see him walk out of there on his own two feet, surrounded by his brothers and sisters in blue, escorted him home. His family was waiting for him. His proud dad, chief of Mayfield Police Department, his brother, his girlfriend, who's also a Pennsylvania State Trooper, and all else, escorted him home. And it's good. I'm sure he's glad to be home. And thank you for your service, Trooper Pertinsky. And speedy recovery. Hope to see you back on that beat once you're good and ready and healed up. So both troopers now have been released from the hospital. That's a good sign. So that just happened today. That's some good news for us. I did see some stuff come across the wire. Newsmax picked it up and a couple of other news agencies. And I posted it about 3 hours ago. I posted it on my social media to where the Teamsters Union, led by General President Sean O'Brien, is signaling a more permanent realignment by donating to battleground Republicans in the upcoming midterms. Yes, for the second year in a row, the labor union's political arm donated to the Republican House campaign arm after nearly two decades of mostly backing Democrats. In addition to giving the NRCC, the National Republican House Committee, Teamsters doled out a combined $62,000 in contributions to nearly two dozen GOP congressional candidates in significant battleground districts, led off by Congressman Rob Bresnahan, Mike Kelly, and Brian Fitzpatrick in Pennsylvania, Pete Stauber and Tom Emmer in Minnesota, four representatives in New York, Jefferson Shreve in Indiana, four in Ohio, Republican congressmen in Ohio, two in New Jersey, one in North Carolina, one in Michigan, one in Utah, two in Illinois, one in Texas, and one in Florida. The group also gave this year's to GOP Senators Deb Fischer of Nebraska, Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, John Housted of Ohio, and Dave McCormick of Pennsylvania. In a statement from the Teamster spokeswoman, "Our members are working people whose interests cut across party lines," Kara Dennitz, a Teamster spokesperson, said. "And there is no value in living in a bubble where you only talk to certain people to the exclusion of others." So we're seeing a dynamic shift in politics across America. If things continue the way they are with voter registration in Pennsylvania, there is a very good chance that by Election Day, Pennsylvania will be a red state at the route that they are losing Democrat voters and gaining Republican voters. When you look at the map of counties and how they their majority is here. Lackawanna County is the lone in the entire northeast quadrant of the state. And you have to look and say, well, if you compare Lackawanna finances to those other counties, kind of shows why. And maybe the proof should be in the pudding, as they like to say, to where maybe if you changed a little dynamics here in Lackawanna County, maybe we could do a little better. But that's up to the voters. And we'll see. It looks like it's leaning in that direction, but does it get there by Election Day? We'll see. And we'll see what the future brings. But to see the Teamsters after 2 decades, you know, focusing simply in one direction to start to shift, do they see the writing on the wall? That, you know, they have to spread their support around for what's best for their membership. So that's some things that came across today. And again, I posted that article. I also rehashed, and I think we're talking about it later today anyway, is, you know, the Washington Metro DC Police, the union head has come out. Like I said, I spoke to the union earlier yesterday, and they were in support of it. They've officially now come out in support of the Department of Justice taking over. It's interesting that there was a protest last night against the taking over of the DC Police Department, and there was a shooting at that protest. Talk about irony. But again, one of the things that's not being said is the DC Metro Police should have a contingency of about 3,500 officers, but currently hover around 27. And I heard some news reports that it's even less than that. So they are down 800 sworn officers. One of the reports I heard, it was over 900 sworn officers they are down. So sending 1,000 National Guard troops for logistics, administrative, and visual professional presence, because that's all they're going to do, is simply to give overworked and overburdened police personnel some breathing room to be able to go out and do the job that they're sworn to do. It's not like the National Guard is going to be doing enforcement action. Like I said, it's going to be administrative, logistical, precinct, security, visible, professional presence, and such like that. So one of the reasons, and I've seen it today finally starting to be said out loud, I even saw a few Democrats said about it. The reason they are pushing back on this so hard, and not just the politicians in...
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen, not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
DC, but national. The House Minority Leadership, Hakeem Jeffries, and House Democrat members from across the country and Democrat senators from across the country. The reason they are coming out so strong about this, and I've been told this from leaders in the FOP, leaders in the police union nationally, is that they are terrified that this works. They are terrified that this could become a blueprint, that you will have blue cities that are having similar issues around the nation and possibly red governors or blue governors that are just done with activating their National Guard and bringing them into cities across America if this works. So they are terrified that this could become a blueprint for something successful. So it's not about public safety. It's not about doing what's right for the populace, making it a safer environment for everyone. It's they are terrified that this works and it could spread to other cities across the nation. That is why this fight is happening so much. And this is coming direct from union leadership, the FOP, the National Association of Police Officers, and organizations nationally in law enforcement. They are saying that these politicians are terrified that this works. And, you know, there was a story from the AP. And, of course, here's the headline for the story. From the Associated Press, and what would you expect from the Associated Press? Trump's Washington police takeover echoes history of racist narratives about urban crime. Of course it's racist if you're going to bring in the National Guard and federalize the local police, even though the local police department is cheering the move. Of course it's racist, but what they fail to tell you is The majority of the victims in urban crime are also people of color. So they're the ones who are going to benefit most from any increase in safety in these cities. And it's as simple as that. So it's laughable, but of course the Associated Press, of course mainstream media, has to tote a narrative that it must be racist that this is taking place. Of course it is, even though the victims are predominantly people of color in these urban environments as well. So it'll be interesting to see this goes forward. I believe there are going to be more protests today. There's the astroturfing, you know, let's pay for mobilization and get people bussed into these places again because they are terrified that this works. They're terrified that this will be beneficial for the safety of the people of these communities. That's what they are fighting. That's the only reason they care. Why else would they? Does it really affect any of them? No. The only downside for them is this works. And if it works, it makes them look bad. And it also creates possibly a blueprint for other states to follow across the nation. Now, it would have to be governors in other states because Washington, D.C. falls under a different home rule charter where the president has the authority to do this. That is not the case in a lot of states to where when it comes to policing in its cities, inner cities, it would more have to be coming from the governor, unless it's in a case of an emergency, which could also be the case here. We've seen if things get truly bad and out of hand, like we did see in 2020. So that's some of the stuff that's popping around outside here that's headed out there. So we can get more local now. This new Hilltop Heights affordable housing development planned for Scranton. Quandell's 36-unit development to be built on vacant portion of parcel, also housing Hilltop Manor Apartments. Now, there's a lot of controversy about this, and rightfully so. They are getting tax breaks for this, but you know they say, well, this is under the Housing Authority anyway, and it wouldn't be taxed to begin with. I saw some back and forth where they're saying it's 30. It proposed 36 units of affordable housing. And I saw some comments that it's way more than that, but I can't find anything that shows it's way more than that. And all I could find is that this will create 36 modern apartments for families under the SHA, the Scranton Housing Authority. It's a 24.6-acre site. They have been given a 10-year tax abatement by the Lackawanna County. Now, Quandell is the company that's spearheading this, Quandell Enterprises, a project they are using through the firm Hilltop Heights LP, will build on the vacant portion of the roughly 24.6-acre SHA, Scranton Housing Authority-owned parcel. And who's the director of business development for this Quandell? Well, that would be former Scranton Mayor Chris Daugherty. Says he hopes to break ground in the fall, with construction expected to take about 15 months. Commissioner Bill Gaughan and Chris Chermak approved last week a 10-year tax abatement for the Hilltop Heights under the Local Economic Revitalization Tax Assistance Program. The move exempts the development from county property taxes on new construction for a decade, after which the buildings would become taxable. The project also qualifies for the City of Scranton School District tax exemption, City Business Administrator Elaine Cipriani said. So it's not getting taxed by the county or the school district is losing out for 10 years. Now, Solicitor Donald Fredrickson of the county explained that the land itself is not taxable because it's owned by the Scranton Housing Authority. However, once the company builds these units and becomes taxable, he said, so we're going to give them 10 years of tax exemption under this program, but for the next 40 years, because they're doing a 50-year lease, the next 40 years they'll be paying taxes on the improvement. But after that 50-year lease, it all goes back to the Scranton Housing Authority and therefore will not be taxed again. So in the long term, post 50 years, if you're nearsighted, All right, well, you're losing 10 years of taxes, you're getting 40 years of taxes, and then after that, it's going to the Scranton Housing Authority, because that's the lease. It'll be turned over to them, and then it won't be taxed again, ever. They also received $350,000 from the city of Scranton in Federal American Rescue Plan Act home funds awarded through HUD. And the executive director of the Scranton Housing Authority, Carl Lynott, gave Mayor Paige Cognetti all the credit for this. Well, we'll see what kind of win this is. 34 families, they say low income. We've seen what kind of mess the Scranton Housing Authority's other properties are. Is this going to be a plus or a minus for the city of Scranton? Well, residents of the city of Scranton, you need to decide this. But for 10 years, they don't get taxed by the school district or the county. Then you'll have 40 years after that. And then after that, you will not have taxes. But you'll have 34 families living there that will, of course, some of them use school district assets, of course, use the county assets and not pay tax after that. So again, this is another parking authority type view where you think in the near future, because of course the mayor and county commissioners and heads of authorities that are appointed by the mayor, who will surely be replaced next time a mayor is in there, really don't care what happens 40 years from now. And that's the lack of long-term structure here. And then you add in this Quandel director of business development, Chris Daugherty, the former Scranton mayor involved in this. And, well, you got Scranton politics at its best. So there you go. It's 3:23 here at WILK. We'll be back with the Rob O'Donnell Show.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.